This is the Reading Aloud Podcast.
I'm Marisol Collette.
And I'm Adam Collette.
And you love us because we love you.
We sure do. And let's get to today's conversation. It's the fun.
No, that's not how we start this podcast.
Well, that certainly is.
I don't think we could be coming into this podcast in like any more differently than we are.
I agree.
Except for all the times that I've been really mad at you and you've been not mad at me.
Which unaware that you are mad at me.
Or just that you're so easygoing.
Yeah. So how are you coming into this podcast?
I have done everything I could not to record this podcast, including I was just like just very happily writing a check to the IRS. I'm like, great. At least I'm not recording that podcast.
All right.
If that says anything.
Yeah. Yeah. You were also, for one of the first times ever, you were like, we need to talk about what we're going to talk about, which I have said periodically, and you have always been like, no, I got it. Let's just go. And this time I was like, no, we got it. Let's just go.
You have a smile on your face, and I have like a slow trickle of tears.
Yep. That's correct. So I am coming into this very excited.
I don't understand.
This is...
I mean, should we just say what it is before we
say... I've been trying to since the beginning.
No. We have big news, everybody.
We have big news. What breaking news.
Just trying to think if I could come up with other ways to stall.
It's our final podcast.
This is the final podcast.
This is the final podcast. Yes, you heard that correct.
That's it, y'all.
Mm-hmm. And you have a steady stream of tears coming down your face.
Well, I didn't for like 5 seconds till you said that, but yes. Yes, yeah. I do. Now.
And I'm excited.
How are you excited?
First
because
off,
because you love to end things. You're like, yes, let's change.
Check it off the list. Yeah.
Oh, okay. This has been a list.
Just a box check. Yeah, to do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
No, because it opens up space. We have something new now coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Endings and Beginnings. We recorded a podcast called Endings and Beginnings.
I think the thing that's different, though, is that, you know, even when good things end or good change happens, letting go of the other stuff, like there's still grief. Where's your grief? Stuck up your butt. Where's your grief?
I'm sure I could do a better, let me say this. I'm sure I could do a better job accessing the grief that I have over the podcast ending. But what I have done, for better or for worse, is wrap that up into excitement and motivation around what's to come.
That's because you're a 7 on the Enneagram.
Totally.
But nobody believes that. Everybody thinks you're a 2. And every time I say anything about you...
No, we talked about this. I went to an Enneagram workshop with all these other 7s.
I know, but my friends.
Oh, well...
They're experts.
Your friends also could be wrong. They also think you're an 8, which you're not.
No, they don't.
Not.
No.
Okay. So what I'm saying is I'm not readily accessing my grief around this because I have rolled it up into excitement that I have for, you know, what's to come and honestly just present moment excitement for this conversation. I'm mm-hmm. really excited to hear what you say. I'm joyous coming into this conversation. It hasn't ended. We're in it right now. We're still recording right now.
I'm only laughing because I know what my face looks like when I'm trying to hold back tears. I can feel it. I was like, man, that is fugly right there. I can feel it. Can you imitate the face I was making? That's what I thought. That's what I thought. I don't know that I have anything interesting to say. Like,
let me start. Like, can I?
Let me just finish. There's been a lot of endings, And I feel the beginnings of lots of new things. But yeah, I mean, I'd say it's a little overwhelming to let go of so much at one time because of this podcast and what it has meant for us in our relationship. That's it for now. That's what I wanted to say. Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about that. I mean, so you asked me before we hit record, you said, what are we going to talk about to make this meaningful? And, you know, I think we should talk about what this podcast has taught us. I think we should talk about what our takeaways are from this and how it has impacted ourselves and our relationship. I really think that that's the proper way to kind of close this out. But in terms of meaningful, and I think that conversation can be meaningful, but in terms of meaningful conversation, this is our 200th episode. We have 199 episodes of meaningful, powerful, some more than others, intentional conversation that will always be there, that will always be present. And the meaningful conversations have been had on the podcast. Like, for those that have listened, like, this is, they listened because they were meaningful, powerful conversations that they got to be a fly on the wall listening into another couple having.
And are you comparing our listeners to people who watch, like, Housewives of New Jersey?
In a way, yeah.
That's awesome.
But you know what? You know what makes those shows good?
Why?
And it's like the polls. Like, people watch it because it's absolute ridiculous trash.
Yeah.
And just like we have mentioned about The Bachelor, which we don't watch anymore, and Bachelor franchise and Bachelorette, which we don't watch anymore. But why did we really like it? We liked it when the meaningful stuff actually happened because we got to see it.
Well, that was just you and me, by the way, because
everybody else watches it for the trash.
For the drama.
Okay, well then, I don't know why people listen to this podcast.
Because nobody believes in it. Nobody believes in the love part.
Yeah.
I'd love to know, you know, that would be an interesting conversation. You know, some people have said, people at a distance, so that they can keep up with us. Some people have said, because it inspires them in their relationships. There's a, you know, quadrillion strangers who watch that I don't, or listen, who I don't know why they listen, but, you know, of the people I know, they think we're funny.
I agree.
They like the high drama moments. How do you propose I manage my grief around this?
I don't know. That's a hard question to answer. I mean, I would say let it happen. You know, it's okay to be sad. It's okay to grieve is the first thing that comes to mind. And I think hopefully, as I am doing to a different degree and are engaging with it differently, hopefully you can rest and find solace in the fact that you know that this is not the end of our conversation, that this is not the end of our projects together, that this is not the end of clearly our relationship and our lives together. All of that continues. And the things that we're going to talk about here, the things that we have learned from the podcast, the things that we have learned about each other, can only build into something more, that in which will fill the space that was taken up by this podcast. I think one thing's clear, we can talk about this today, one thing is clear is that neither of us wants to end this type of interaction that we have benefited from and relied on for the past 5 years. We started this podcast in 2019. We were different people in 2019, and we have changed in a large part because every week or every other week for 5 years, we've sat down and taken an hour to 2 hours of intentional space to have a conversation about something. I can't imagine something I would be more grateful for than what we have done and accomplished there. And I also don't want to let that go. But I think we both understand that continuing to produce podcast episodes, the piece of that has come to a end. Not in the fact that we need to wrap up those conversations, but the medium in which we are – carrying that out under can use a refresh and can use a change for the benefit of that growth and of those conversations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I have a tendency not to change much. I'm very adventurous, but not to change things that feel pretty concrete. And I know that when they do change, it is exciting. I just tend to layer things on top and be like, okay, well, we're going to do this other thing on top of that.
Right.
But I have come to value what it really means to let something go and what a great practice that is to let something go. You know, because I'm always open to whatever's going to come.
Yeah,
I agree with that. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's always exciting to me, the mystery of what's to come. I don't have a strong need to know or art direct it or whatever, but I do. You can feel it in the air right now. We're letting go in the middle of spring as things are starting to bud and bloom, and I think that's a great time to let go of stuff. I mean, just exciting to see what's coming, and you feel the energy of what else could come. And, you know, since the loss of these babies, it's amazing to me how much has grown and changed in my business. And then Neo has just exploded with language and full sentences and all of that. It's incredible to see, to really be present to what has been birthed that wasn't a baby, a new baby in this family. And I am confident that the next time we argue, I'm going to either have the thought or say it out loud of, see, this is what happens when we don't have a podcast. You know, I'm nervous because, so, you know, the big thing is that we have another big project that we're working on, and we need the space and time to do it. And the podcast is not giving us the space and time to do that. And it really is the next season and chapter of our lives and in our relationship. And I know that having the deadline of having to have a podcast come out every week is really good for us both because we're busy, we're excited about a lot of things, and I can feel future resentments. Be like, you're not making time for the Buddha. And I'm not, and this is why we are arguing, because we're talking about technical things, not having these conversations. And it's already so much harder to have conversations like this with a kid.
Yeah.
So this is treasured time.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And I hear you. I think no matter what we do with a new project, you know, our goal should always be to carry forward the lessons and the things that worked from our kind of past projects together. And what I hear you saying is one of the things that worked really well out of the podcast was the intentional time for connective conversation. And sometimes that was fighting, and sometimes that was funny and me explaining Star Wars to you, and sometimes that was making a grocery list, and sometimes that was crying in the bathtub over the loss of a child. One thing we need to remember is no matter if, at least in certain phases of this next project, it could be potentially more technical, we will grow by incorporating the things that worked from this one and the things that we know work in our collaboration together. So even if there are technical pieces, continuing to make time for connective conversation will only add value to, you know, the project that's coming up.
It is so clear to me that that it's time to end the podcast. And, you know, you had recommended that or suggested it a couple years ago at the top of the year when we were doing our review. And I was like, no way, Jose. And then I brought it up this year and I said, you know, I think it's time. And you were like, okay. And it is, you know, it's the cutting crone. It was the person that I knew, you know, the part of me that knew this is it. This is it. Despite what is lost in the process, this is it. And I did not wavered on that one bit. And of course, yet it's still sad. I'm curious, if we didn't have another project on the horizon, what do you think that would mean for our relationship? Because this would be ending regardless. It's time.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean,
not what other thing would we do, but like,
I know what you mean. And I don't know. I don't know what that would mean for our relationship. All that I know is I know our relationship is strong. I know we love each other. I know we're committed to each other. And I know that we both have a desire to experience deep connection with each other. And so I don't know exactly. I mean, it's an impossible question to answer. And it depends on my state and how I think about it or hypothesize about what will be or what could be or whatnot. But I just continually fall back on what is the foundation, because whatever our foundation is, whatever our like, that is what will grow whatever we plant.
You know, the weekly finances meeting that we have, it makes our finances so strong. And when we're out of town or, you know, have a couple weeks where we just can't make it work, you know, we have to play some catch up. But the days that we meet, it's like, okay, we've got this. Here's our short and long term plan. And it's so beneficial. And so that's kind of how I've thought about it, is what an incredible infusion this has been into our marriage each and every week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that it is so valuable, that the strength of this relationship has come in some part because of the podcast.
For sure.
If you look at a picture of me in your mind in 2019, and I the same for you, what do you see? 2019, 5 years, the year we started the podcast.
I see somebody who, and this doesn't mean that you aren't this now, let me be clear. So this is not like what's changed, because the first thing that comes up to mind is I see somebody who is a ton of fun and the best adventure buddy I've ever had. I see somebody who is motivated and passionate.
That's a big compliment.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Motivated, passionate. Honestly, now that I say all this, and I hadn't thought about this before, I see the same person. I see somebody who also was struggling with grief. Not struggling, experiencing.
Because of the baby stuff?
Yeah. That was a hard year. Remember we say 2019 is a hard year. Because it was like the height, that was a height of infertility for us.
So why did we decide to do this? Because it wasn't intended to be a fertility journey podcast.
No, it was not. I mean, people always ask, how did you start a podcast? And, I kind of give the...
What's your answer? Because I have mine.
So I say, from early on in our relationship, we started to record our conversations. And, you know, in all like new relationships, especially when you feel like you found your person, it's that like honeymoon phase where you're like, oh my God, we're having the coolest conversations, you know, and it's just like that excitement and, you know, you're getting to know each other and you're connecting on this soul level. I mean, I don't think that's unique to us. I think a lot of people experience that when they meet somebody that they truly love. You have amazing conversation. So again, that's not unique to us. What was somewhat unique that we did was we started recording them, and not with any intention of posting them.
Why do you think we recorded them?
Because I think...
Wouldn't that be amazing if we had that?
I don't know where they...
That down in fiery... It's in the...
Fiery phone flames or something.
It's gone with the phone.
But... I think we did because we felt like, oh, this is something we want to save. Because we also started to like journal together and write poetry together and, you know, do all of these cute honeymoon phase like things that we were doing. And, you know, we just started to record our conversations. We were also having lots of road trips at that time. Your parents still lived in Texas and we would drive down there. We would drive to, you know, my folks in Kentucky. We were just driving like a lot of, you know, 8 to 14 hour road trips. And so we would have lots of conversation and we just set that phone on the console and record.
And then why did we start the podcast?
We started the podcast because we always talked about doing something together and collaboratively. And I think, I don't know who had the idea we should start a podcast. We came up with it.
I love you so much. It was 150 million thousand percent my idea.
Okay, great. I mean, what are you saying? I said, I don't know who came up with first. That was honest. I didn't remember.
But then you said we.
Well, I always say we because everything we do is collaborative.
I know. You're so good at that. You're like, we opened the front door. We went poop. No, you're really good at saying we. Like sometimes I'll say, you know, do you have the keys to my car? And it's just like you rarely do stuff like that. You're like, do you have the keys to the car? Or, you know, we got to take our car in or whatever kind of thing. I so appreciate it. And I recognize when I don't say we and how valuable it is. It's just so tender that we are a we. And
my success is your success. Your success is my success.
Why is that important in a marriage?
Oh, I think it's important in, I think it's a world view, you know, like there is an important aspect to like own your own power and whatnot. And I think that's really important. I am just bought into the idea of the collective more than the idea of the individual. And I think that in certain settings, the we is more easily communicated. And one of those is a marriage. Another one is like an organization or a campaign or, you know, like a movement because everybody's a part of it and everybody's needed. Yeah, I mean, and there is still I have my work. I don't talk about like my work as our work. I talk about my work, but I talk about our money. This is our house. I mean, we just, you know, the life that we are building for each other, our finances, our home, our family, our material things, our relationship, our love.
And
the podcast is a part of that. Our podcast is related to something like our house or our retirement savings. It's something that we're collectively putting into. So
definitely our house, obviously, but there's just other times where many people, including me, wouldn't just say our. I'm not, you know, of course, I'm never going to say my house. It's not just mine. But, you know, there are other things that would be more common to say mine and yours.
Yeah, give
whatever.
Me some examples.
I'm trying to. I thought the car was a good one, but I can't really. I'll have to tell you, and the rest of the world will never know because there's no more podcasts. Where am I going to put all my ideas? Okay, here I have a question for you. Do you think that you were this wise in 2019?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
So then the real issue was that I wasn't listening.
What do you mean wise? I think I have grown exponentially at learning how to communicate.
Mm-hmm. Like all of...
I'm not going to say you've ever been... you were great... No, I'm just kidding. But like, I mean, I think for my part
no,
in
you
that,
can
I think...
You can say something that might piss me off. I think people would appreciate one last fight.
Well, I think for my part, I have learned exponentially and become a better communicator, and particularly with you. I know, and that's not just me, that's also listening to you and learning how you are able to receive ideas and information. And I think that that's a big part of it, you know, in terms of like, I've not only grown in my own personal ability to communicate my thoughts, my emotions, but I've grown, and that's a benefit of the podcast. If we're talking about a takeaway here, I've grown in my ability to learn how you receive information and being able to meld that with also my original ideas and thoughts and, you know, feelings about a certain situation, and then being able to deliver them in a way that you'll hear them.
I feel like when I think about you in 2019, I think you have incredible ideas and were such a dreamer. And I think you lived in a constant state of motion and were a little bit in the clouds, which was so perfect for the time period when we first met, 2014 and on. And I actually think in 2019, why we decided to do the podcast. So I always say the same thing you say about recording our conversations or whatever. And I agree with you that everybody has a honeymoon phase and there's lots of specialness and sparkly stuff that happens in the honeymoon phase. But I actually think the reason we recorded our conversations is because something about the way we were thinking and talking about it and putting our separate ideas, like when they came together, something really seriously amazing happened. And everybody has their thing, but that was one of our things. And I think it, and then I thought this is valuable for other people to hear. But the thing that I add in when people ask is that you had a lot of amazing things to share and there was no platform for it. I had social media and I'm very social, like I had a huge social community, etc. And I just, you know, when people would catch things that you said, or when like my friends are around, I mean, people were like, wow, he's incredible. He's different than anybody else. And I thought that he needs a bigger platform. So that's where it was 150,000,000% my idea. Because I'm talking all the time. But you know, it's interesting because 2019 was the year that it got hard. And I think that that's probably where things, where the sweetness of the being in the clouds and the dreamer and the mover and the like, the swiftness, this sort of airiness about you, like I'm going to do, go and do and let's go and do and do. Started to, there was, that was like the transition point because of the heaviness, because we had decided to get married and we had gotten married and things were landing as we were married. And then we started thinking about building a family in 2017 and it wasn't going that way. And we were lost, that one door had closed and the other hadn't yet opened. So we were trying to figure out how to dance in the hallway, which I attribute that quote to my late friend CJ. And something happened there. And I wonder if the podcast even helped us make that, you know, I think it was a huge outlet for us during that time, but I wonder if it helped in that major transition place for us both. Because for me, what I've gained over the last 5 years, and in particular because of this podcast, is a deeper ability to understand. And what I mean by that is understanding, and it's you in particular, but of course it goes out to others, but it's you. Understanding viewpoints that are different than my own. Understanding a human at the deepest level, you know, warts and all. And
Wait, I have warts?
Probably. Remember when I was getting the warts on my hand?
I do remember that.
It happened. You know, and it's been such a treasure for me because, A, it helps me in this relationship, because otherwise I think that we would actually be rotating around some pretty fundamentally difficult things. Some, like, stuff that are very foundational and we'd be struggling with it still. And for two, just because it's so cool I mean, you are so different than me in so many ways the same, but in so many ways different. And it's so cool to understand a world outside of, you know, the family that I grew up in or the way that I was taught to understand things. But now I feel like you have a fullness to you. Like you've filled out, there's like a density to you. And I just think that means groundedness. I mean, I look at you and I think, God, you're handsome. But I've always felt that way. You've always had it in your eyes, but there's something like filled out, the maturation, which is another thing. I'm going to be 40 this year. Another ending of a decade and introduction of a new season of life. What is happening? It's so intense. It's like I'm going to wake up on June 10th and nothing's going to be different and everything feels different right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing all that. And I appreciate it. You know, I've always gained so much by your confidence in me and your support of me that is both unconditional and
very conditional.
Very accountable.
Oh.
Very conditional. Conditionally unconditional.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that. And you have made me such a more complete person and such a more whole person. It's so funny. I have felt and leaned more into gratitude this year than I have probably any other year of my life. And I feel like I'm still only cracking the surface, but I have so much gratitude for you and how you shaped me. And a lot of that has been on the podcast, you know, and I agree with you. It has been an outlet for us. I think without the podcast and without these conversations, we say the podcast, but it's really the conversations. And now the podcast added a flavor to the conversations because we knew that we were speaking into microphones that then it would go out and, you know, thousands of people would listen to it. But I think that was very true when we first started recording and our episodes were like a little bit more kitschy. But as we began to really dive into, and you know, when we first started talking about our fertility journey, we didn't talk about it publicly on the podcast. It was, you know, we didn't really, but then as we got into it, our conversations really became, we a little bit superseded the fact that we were talking in the microphones and we just became more and more authentic in our communication. I even found that honestly in my editing of the podcast, I used to cut out a lot more ums and ands and pauses and things like that.
Yes, like now that you're back to editing the last few episodes, there's a few more throat clearings.
all the madness, yeah, included. Yeah, so it's just, I guess what I'm trying to communicate is that the authenticity and the podcast in and of itself over these past couple years has helped us navigate what would have been a very difficult 5 years. And it has been our outlet. And I think one of the takeaways for me is that whether a podcast or anything else, when you are navigating infertility, fertility issues, or any really intense thing within your relationship, having an outlet for you to be able to, in a healthy way, process that in community and relationship with the other person, in addition to yourself, but specifically with the other person, is crucial. And ours was the podcast. And I don't know, I'm not saying we would not be together, anything extreme like that, but I don't know where we would be without it. And it's not that everybody needs a podcast, but I do believe that when you're navigating really intense things, you need an outlet in which you process together. And it has become clear that the podcast has become that for us.
To do it together. Got it.
Yeah.
Right. I hear you. You know, it gives me a lot of gratitude for our listeners because what this has done is funneled all of that difficulty out into something good.
Exactly.
Because of what it has meant to people, in particular around fertility. I mean, that essentially is what rose to the top as being one of the most common things that we talked about. And how many people reached out that we knew and didn't know and just said, you know, thank you for this. I just felt so alone. Or I didn't know, you know, I was looking for something to connect to, and this was so helpful. And so I am so grateful to our listeners because that's what kept the podcast going, was that people were listening. And then with that, it meant that I could at times say that the tragedies were not for naught, or whatever the term is, it wasn't for naught, or
something
like that. Yeah, that it was, that it I mean, I could do something meaning. With it. Yeah, not right. Like, well, yeah, so I could do something with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, grateful for the listeners for holding all that space for us.
Yeah, and a lot of love and prayers were sent back to us.
Oh my gosh, so many.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Many.
It's a community. Yeah. Is there anything, any episode that you can remember that you would take back, or anything you said on the podcast that you wish you hadn't said?
Not off the top of my head. I mean, there were a couple controversial things I said along the way. I think some of the ways I talked about men made some men upset.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We lost a couple of listeners.
It's all right. You know, but that's okay.
I think the podcast about my work, because I was still in the process of figuring out how to, you know, public speaking hadn't been on my, I hadn't been doing that yet. And so it was hard to say it all and say it in a way that was meaningful and, you know, had elevator pitch and all that back then. Just is so different now. I could talk about it in such a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? 5 years from now, you'd be able to talk about it in a completely different way.
You know, I didn't even know if I'd still have my business after if we had had a second baby.
Yeah.
Or if it would look anything like that. And now, holy moly, just in a couple of months, just how much it has continued to grow.
That's right.
So 5 years from now, we're respectively going to be 43 or 44 and 45.
Something like that.
Depends on the month. So what are we doing?
What do you want to do?
I hate that question. No, what are we doing? What are we doing with our lives? What's going to be cool?
Well, we are in 5 years. Well, let's get out our 5-year vision board. I mean, you know, you could get all specific, but I think in 5 years, we are grooving. That's what I want to say. We're grooving. We're grooving in 5 years. Neo is like in his full-on 8-year-old wonder, like doing his things and like being a cool flipping kid into like weird music that is just weird and, you know, whatever. Yeah, just being his weird 8-year-old self and like whatever he's into. I don't even want to guess. It's going to be like whatever he's into, and he's going to be doing his thing, and he's going to be, you know, like his own little independent self. I mean, he's already in pretty dang independent, and he's 3. I'm sure by 8, like, you know, we're going to be probably clinging on to the last vestiges of him being a little kid, like 8, 9, you know. And but you and I are going to be like, we're just going to be moving and grooving. Like, I think you're going to be like, who knows where your business is going to be at, but it's going to look like so much, not only so different, but like so much more like, I just feel like integrated into your happiness and freedom and than it is right now. Like, not only the size, but I don't see you in 5 years still like struggling to figure out how to keep your head above water.
The grinding, yeah.
I don't see you grinding. I see you like, there will always be a lot of work, but it'll be more in a fluid way. That's why I say grooving. I think me, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think I'm probably the biggest unknown of the three of us, if I would guess right now. Like, I don't know where I will be in 5 years.
Is there a range?
Yeah.
Like anything from working security at Walmart to...
It's on the table, running always.
Running a company?
I don't think I'll be running a company, but I think I've learned a lot about myself, and I don't think I'll be working. I mean, yes, it is probably within that range, but I don't think I'll be working security at Walmart. But, you know, I hope to be like at that time, I just hope to be like just being in my fullness, you know, being in my fullness of what is, you know, bringing me joy.
So we're both a little, we're both like a little bit like the Tin Man, and we need some oil.
Whether or not we're in this house still or not, I think that we'll have either just or are planning on, you know, some sort of like extended period away.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll happen either within the next 5 years or shortly thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some extended period up to a year, you know, outside the country or something to that effect. I don't know what that looks like now, but I think we're building towards that.
That's fun. It's almost like a return to some of our old ideas.
We're going to be exactly where we were in 2019, outside of all the fertility stuff.
And
be like where we were in 2019, except with an 8-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Man, what a freaking miracle.
We'll ride along here.
Oh, he's going to love it.
Yeah.
What a wild thing. And, you know, to think about how much pain... just to be here where it feels like there's some ease on this side and some possibility and openness when it constantly felt like setbacks and closed doors. I mean, it was because of the pain and the, and our persistence that we ended up doing IVF to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. I'm
speak it. What's in your
head? Well, I'm just excited. And I also, probably some over-identification with the pain. Like that was such a, not pain, because I had so much joy in the last 5 years, but over-identification with the struggle.
It was a really defining piece. And it's not that our relationship, I mean, we had intense challenges and intense ups and downs, and, you know, but it's not that our relationship was a struggle, but, you know, there was a thing in our life that was very, very challenging.
Yeah.
And that was the creation of our family. Nothing went to plan, ever. Mm-hmm. Even Neo's pregnancy and birth and all of that, nothing went to plan. Mm-hmm. And
so it's nothing went as planned, or it went to pot.
All the above?
No. I'm telling you that I'm giving you your final podcast grammar lesson, which is nothing went to plan. Isn't it? Okay. Nothing went as planned.
That's the proper way to say it. Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Nothing went
as
planned.
Kentucky can't take Kentucky out the boat.
That's right. Thin me bones.
Is that your like pirate? It's in me bones.
It's my Kentucky pirate. Lake Cumberland.
What's mine? My Texas. What's my Texas?
Your Texas? You're just a goth kid from Duncan Switch.
I don't think anybody could hear that. They're like, wait, what? A goth kid from Duncan Switch.
With your JNCOs, you know.
You didn't have JNCOs?
I had JNCOs, yeah, but you know, I was that was just a front.
Yeah.
But like, you were like real. You had your JNCOs, your Slipknot tee, and you're like, you know, then you're like colorful, you know, bows in your hair and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That Slipknot tee was my boyfriend's. It wasn't.
Yeah,
mine.
Well, of course it's your boyfriend's.
When did I not have a boyfriend?
Yeah. When did you not have a boyfriend?
What? I was such a mashup. It's all a front for me, too. That's what we have in common.
Mixtape from Duff and Switch.
Old mixtape. Oh, that's funny. Okay. I'm going to miss making people laugh.
What other takeaways do you have? Or lessons learned?
Yeah, the thing I was trying to remember when I was talking to you about understanding is that so much of understanding came from being able to listen. And being able to listen comes from valuing what the other person is saying as like being open and curious as this is a truth. This is somebody's truth, and this is another truth in the world. And the biggest thing was speaking of unconditional, love that you gave me and support. And you know, you don't shame or blame or anything like that. So in your presence, it's just constantly being, you constantly feel supported by you. Which is where my friends come in and they're like, oh, he's a 2 on the Enneagram. That's where it comes. But it's not that. You're just so good at bolstering people. I mean, I think you have a secret way at times of cutting deep that you know that other people are like, oh, he must not have meant that. But I do think you actually know. And I think I have a secret way of manipulating that I play off as I didn't know, or I didn't do that, or whatever. So we both gaslight each other just enough. Just enough to be perfectly
just
imperfect.
Enough to stay warm.
To be perfectly imperfect. But no, I mean, I think I think the thing that I'm saying is that you have softened me through all of that support. I have softened enough to open up, to understand, and to understand somebody who's so different than me so deeply gives me an entirely new opening into the world.
Mm. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. And it's an honor to be seen that way.
Mm. So is that the end of the podcast?
Let's do favorite moments, favorite episodes, favorites from it.
Okay, you go.
It's so funny because I am infinitely excited to, probably not for several years, but like to then go back and listen to these. You know, one of the benefits that I am so grateful for in having all of this is for the rest of our lives and for Neo's life, for, you know, everybody that knows, to have these recordings saved of our conversations during this 5-year period. You know, it's a time capsule. We've created a time capsule of our lives that, you know, in 40 years, we'll look back and we'll be able to listen to how we sounded, what we were talking about, what was on our minds during this 5-year.
And when we restart the podcast?
We restart the podcast, and we'll call it the final 5 years.
wait, 40 years from now, from 80 to 85. Got it. The final 5 years.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Got it.
Then we'll just do episodes until we...
till we croak.
Yeah, yeah. But like, I'm just so grateful for all of that, and that brings me excitement. So in terms of like my favorite episode, it's hard. I used to say for a long time, we had this episode called Down in the Valley that I really liked a lot. But I think probably...
we've been down in the valley a couple
times. Yeah, we've been down in the valley a couple times.
It was since then. That was monumental. That was like a threshold that we crossed because we were sad.
Yeah, we were very sad,
and we were willing to let that be heard.
That's right. I think again, I would just say my favorite podcast, if off the top of my head, is my three favorite things, where we gave our three favorite things in the world. Like,
yeah. That, you know, we recorded that while we were waiting to see if we were pregnant. We had just done the transfer.
We recorded that in the woods.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
On a tiny island while we had canoed out to this island, which is like technically not the place to go when you're newly pregnant. I didn't ever really put that together because I didn't think it was that big of a deal. You know, I knew being pregnant was a big deal, but I didn't. You know,
it's perfect.
The tenderness. Yeah. We were sitting there completely naked. I was, at least. Were you?
Yeah.
I think I had a scarf, like a neckerchief.
Yeah.
Like a bandana.
It was the top of summer. Yeah. But that podcast, my three favorite things, is just so, it's so us, and it was so the podcast because I went first and I gave these very like, direct, pointed, like tangible answers, and then you gave these very like deep, meaningful, emotional, but like kind of hard to contain answers. But then I summarized them, and then it's very good, and it's very funny, and it's also very meaningful. Mm. How about you?
All I know is all the times we've laughed. I can't think of a specific, I mean, there are so many good episodes. By the way, have I said this on the podcast yet? There are burlap sacks at all fairs. Everyone.
I'm not disputing that.
You told me there were burlap sacks in Texas only.
No, I'm not disputing that they're not burlap sacks.
On a slide.
This is what I'm confused about.
No, I had somebody reach out to me about North Carolina Mountain State, but like the one we go to has.
I've never been.
Well, I'm banned from it.
Well, I guess we're SOL then.
My favorite would be, I don't know, just the laughing. I mean, Adam Explains Star Wars was a pretty funny one. And the one where, what was it? The Little Things. That's one that people really love.
That's, people love that one.
But I also really love the first two. intentions and love.
Uh-huh.
We started a podcast, episode called Love.
Love.
And then some of the more recent ones, the one where you told us about meeting the baby.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I don't know if I ever told the story of Neo telling me his birth story on the podcast. Do you think I did?
I don't remember. I mean, maybe I don't remember it specifically, so maybe not.
Should I tell it?
It's up to you. We got time. This is it. So if you want to tell it, tell it.
Well, even if it's been told before, it's interesting to me because we just had Neo's third birthday and we just had Trouser Day yesterday, which was the day she died. If anybody forgot, it was 10 days after Neo was born, which I can so appreciate that she waited, especially with all the challenges we had. And hot damn. And then, so on Neo's second birthday, you know, we've told the story of the birth and how he got here over the course of two whole days. But he was naked and everybody else in the house, or we had guests and everybody was out doing something. And it was just me and him. And he wasn't he's never been very snuggly. He's more now than ever. And he says, "Come, Mama." You know, words very limited. He was just going from one to two. And he says, "Come, Mama." And then he sits down in the grass and he says, "Sit." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, I'm going to sit. First of all, this boy never sits down. Second of all, to be invited by your child to do something, especially at that age, is a hard yes." And so I sat. And then it was like I could feel the moment coming. And I know to look for these things. So it was very obvious to me when he started talking and using words that he hadn't used before. And he said, stuck. And that's when I really knew. I was like, oh, okay, this is birth story. It's on his birthday. He's naked. He's telling me his birth story. We're going to
process it.
Renegotiate the trauma.
Yeah.
And so I just very, you know, calmly, I was like, yeah, you were stuck. And then he's like, help. And, you know, I don't know if that was how he was feeling. He never was in distress that we could tell, but I'm sure he wanted help. But I was screaming help in that interim period between when they told me to stop pushing and we were going to have to go into a C-section, but before the forceps came, which is actually how he got here. And I just was screaming help. And grabbing our doula by the shirt, being like, "You have to help me," because pushing was the only thing that would help the pain. And so I was like, "Yeah." So I don't know if he was like repeating me or whatever, but I was like, "Yeah." And then the doctor came, and I put my hands very lightly around his head because he was born via forceps. And I put my hands very lightly around his head, and I just ever so slightly lifted. And he stood up. He kind of moved his body up. And then he puts his arms up in the air and he goes, "Yay!" And then, like it had never happened, he's out of it, out of the trance. And he runs off to go look at some, like he's, you know, toddling away and I have to chase him towards some construction site. And never again. He's never talked about it again. I've always tried to get like, sometimes you have to tell your trauma story a couple times before you renegotiate it. I mean, it's the coolest.
So cool. I mean, I wish that happened to me because I clearly still in my.
Your birth trauma.
I pushed back in.
You got pushed back in. And my birth, according to my parents, was perfect in my childhood in every way. And here I am, just fucked up.
You came out just floating on a cloud.
And I'm all kinds of messy. But the funny thing was this year, you asked him, "Hey, Neo." Well, for one, we watched our birth video. And before it, and he loves to watch he calls it the born video, which is the 1 minute video where he was born. He loves that video. But we started this one, was the one that started the whole 15 process.
15 minutes long, yeah.
And he was shaking the whole time. Uh-huh. And I kept asking him if he wanted to stop, but he didn't. But he was terrified.
Yeah.
It was so different.
Yeah.
But you asked it. You asked him. You said, "Do you remember being, Neo, do you remember being born?" And he just said, I mean, this is the most amazing stuff, you know, and these are words that he's never said. And he just like kind of put his arm, his one fist in there, and he goes, I broke through the pipe. I mean, what? That's the coolest.
So cool.
And, I, you know, not everybody notices that. Their kids are probably saying cool shit all the time like that. But to notice that, I mean... You're acting like this is just average. It's the coolest.
No, it is super cool. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't have the words to describe like the ability that you have also of identifying and cultivating that within him, I think is equally as special to me.
Mm.
Like you said, I think a lot of kids, you know, there's this unfiltered. I mean, we talk about, you know, in movement work, like speaking truth to power. Talk about kids. They speak truth to power. Every night when we pray before a dinner, Neo prays for chocolate and excavators. I mean, that is.
Yeah, those are his gratitudes.
Those are his gratitudes every day. Yeah. Chocolate, muffins, excavators.
Salad.
Salad sneaks in there every now and then. But, like, you know, he knows what he likes, and that's what he wants to say, you know? Like, and so I guess I'm just saying, like, your ability is equal to cultivate that is equally as impressive.
Mm.
And in that, you are so tuned in, empathetic, aware, and supportive that Neo's a lucky man.
Hmm. Well, I see him taking after you in so many ways. I actually don't think that y'all are... Well, I'm curious. But speaking of when we pray before dinner and share our gratitudes, you know, he takes both our hands, squeezes his eyes closed, and just rocks and sways.
Well, we got some church up in him. Yeah.
Yes, it sways back and forth. Oh, my gosh. And that is so you.
Uh-huh.
That is so you, just, you know, because to this day you are completely uninhibited around things like that. You will let the spirit ride through you, whether it's, you know, screaming at the top of your lungs in the woods or swimming in freezing cold water or swaying and dancing. You just, like, nothing stops you.
Mm.
I was curious if you thought he was a lot like you.
It's hard to say because I have a perception of myself
mm-hmm.
that is very different than how I also present it in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me to judge, is he like me or not, is really difficult. Mm. I would judge on how I perceive myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think how I perceive my own self is incredibly biased, you know, and also hard. I'm very hard on myself. So... You know,
I wonder if he will be. Hopefully not.
Hopefully not. I mean, I guess it's so with all of that context, I would say I see a lot of similarities between us. I see a lot of the like physical ability, the like the way he processes things, his focus and his intention in things.
What do you mean the way he processes things?
Just the way he thinks about like his goofiness and the way he plays, you know, like he wants to play rough, but then like he, you know, or like he wants to be dangerous, but then like he knows his limits or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like the cautiousness. I see a lot of that. I hope that I think he is probably cooler than I am and more confident than I am. Like, I hope that he's like that. But again, that's my own perception of myself.
No, I hope, you know, the world will come in and do its thing. But I hope that he also has that confidence. Because one thing that we give him was one of the more valuable things that I was given, which is just celebrating me just as I was. For the longest times, in particular when I was a kid. And so, you know, I hope we continue to do that with him. And of course, the world will come in on us too, and it'll get hard at times. But I would say I have been noticing things as his personality emerges about him being cautious, him being really physically able. He could do anything in the world, which you can too. But again, like you said, he knows his limits. So it's like cautiously adventurous. So super adventurous. We'll go anywhere, do anything. You know, the other day he went over to the blackberry bush. I was like, Neo, come on back. Cause I didn't know where he was going. And I had a mission, and he kept going anyways. And then he was like, this is where the blackberries come in. And I was just like, first of all, he knew he was doing something I told him not to do. So then he was going to make something of it. And then he just had this like his orientation, like his directional orientation. And I don't know how else to say it, but the cautious, like you're not a risk taker, but you will take all the risks in the world without danger. And definitely his focus. But I also think during his play, he does what probably a lot of toddlers do. And he gets really impulsive and he bites and he hits when he gets too excited. Like the emotion comes
in. That's your side coming in.
Thank you. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Is that I still have when the intensity flows, I still need it to come out somehow.
He bites just like you bite.
What do you mean? Oh, the
yeah, the like shakiness, you know, but it's these bites that he gives sometimes that are not, like, there are different kind of bites. There's bites that are like, there's three types of bites that he gives me. One is like the playful, like we're playing and like I'm just like, instead of hit, he'll just like bite me. Those are actually the scariest. Because I don't know how hard he's going to go. Then there's the like bites that are like, and these are very, very rare now, but there's the bites when he's angry. You know, and he wants to it's hard to say he wants to hurt you, but like he wants to let you know that he's angry but he doesn't typically bite hard, but he's like, ah, you know, and he wants to bite. And then there's the bites when he's got so much intensity in him. And these are the bites that are like, you two bite the exact, when you have so much intensity, he will grab my arm. Or he will grab like the side of my arm and you do the same thing and you just bite down and it's hard, but it's not unbearable. And then your jaw like quivers and you're like, ooh, you know, and then just let go and take a deep breath. And generally it helps.
So you are both our punching bags. No, hopefully not. But I think his confidence is like mine. Just the infinite confidence and the do what you want to do, you know, a little bit despite what anybody else wants to do, a little bit prioritizing self. Really, I'm describing three behaviors that are very toddler-like that I just still hang on to, and we'll see how they go. I've heard people who've been around kids for a long time say he's very confident and willful, which is a great combination, just passionate.
And I'm just also very aware of, like, there's just this eagerness to adults who are, myself included, who are raising a kid. And especially, like, I think in our modern world, there's an eagerness. We're so eager for them, you know, to do the things that we want to do. And I have learned that. I did not expect that. They're whatever, a week old, and you're like, you gotta watch this movie, it's my favorite, you know, and you're like, they're a week, they have no clue what's going on right now. And so I have grown so much over the course of this podcast and with Neo, just super keenly aware of not only having patience but letting him be his own person, and how I can both find the balance of pointing him in healthy directions and giving him healthy support and just letting him be his own person. Like that has come up consistently for me.
So what you're saying is we should continue the podcast because we have a lot to talk about with regard to raising a kid. He's turning into like a real kid.
There's a lot of podcasts and advice on raising kids. There isn't a lot of podcasts on a couple developing their relationship and going through infertility. There's not a lot of podcasts on that. There's tons of resources out there on how to raise good kids.
So what you're saying is we should continue the podcast because you're going to miss all of our listeners.
Oh, I'm going to miss our listeners immensely.
So what you're saying is that this is the last 5 seconds of the podcast.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Whew.
I love you.
I love you. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you so much.
Amen. Thanks, y'all, for listening and participating. We always have a great time with you.
And if you enjoy the podcast, please go online and rate, review, share this with your friends. This is the way that we build this community.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye.